Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Hello and welcome to, and you say it first because I don't want to be the first one to swear in the podcast, no.
Hello and welcome to We're Not Fucking Historians.
And this is a brand new podcast for people who are sort of interested in Irish history, but not interested enough to go and, you know, read a book about it.
Or listen to an actual podcast by experts. So look, we want to talk about the most exciting bits, the big names, the big battles. Basically anyone we'd sort of class as an absolute ledge.
It's mixing history with just a bit of having a bit of a laugh. And that's the best way to learn. And I always say that, and that is why academically I did not do well in school.
The teachers were not funny enough. No, I'd argue if my teachers had been a bit more entertaining,
a bit more
probably
crack.
Would have learned more.
Yeah, I said that to my history teacher. I said, who says we can't combine all this fact stuff and a bit of a laugh? And he said, me. That's not the way education works. But that's the way it works here. Each week we're going to take it in turns to tell each other about a particularly interesting part of Irish history.
Today.
Mainstream.
Mainstream Irish history. It's the big man on campus. It's the guy you all know and love. It is St. Patrick himself.
Whoa. Yeah, a lot of familiarities with St. Patrick. Like, he gets a lot of familiarity. Like, people think they know him.
I feel like I know him.
But, see, I feel like I know him, but I think you're going to tell me that I don't know him at all.
I weirdly feel like I am going to tell you exactly what you know about St. Patrick,
yeah.
But we're just going to go into slightly more detail than you already know. I'm curious to know what you already know or think you know.
Well, here's the thing. I could tell you one thing I know about him, but I don't want that to be a big thing you're sitting on and then you go, no, that's the basis of my knowledge.
No, let's do it. Let's just hit me.
I do know that we shouldn't be calling him Patrick at all.
Why?
Because that's not his name.
Oh, no.
I know.
Let me just check my notes.
I know.
I've not got that here.
So I know his real name.
What's his real name?
Maewyn Sukat.
Maewyn Sukat?
Yep, which I argue is a far better name. Like, why does he not lead with that? Maewyn Sukat?
Yeah. You wouldn't have Maewyn Sukat Day, though, would you? And everyone getting out in the parade and having the crack.
Yeah, fair.
I think the other big thing about St. Patrick that people don't know is that he was not Irish. He was, in fact, a Brit.
Yeah, isn't it a little bit like the Irish national football team as well, though? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Okay, a couple of them are Irish, but most of them are from England.
I understand. It's a little bit like when Irish people do well abroad and then the Brits claim them as their own.
Yeah.
Like Eddie Irvine that time he won the Formula One.
Yeah, he's from near where I'm from.
Well, there you go.
He said he
was British.
He claimed in an interview a couple, like literally 2-3 years ago, that I think he lives in the Caribbean. And he said that he got attacked by a shark, but he just punched it and it swat him away. And at that point, I was like, Eddie, stop giving interviews. So the Brits can have him. Yes.
Fine. They can have him.
He's a free agent.
A free hostage for us to decide at any future time who we'd like to take from them. I'd like Judi Dench. I'd like to take her.
There's probably some background there. There's probably some Irish there.
I think we could probably have her.
So yeah, St. Patrick wasn't Irish, which like is a little bit of a kick in the teeth.
There's so much about St. Patrick that just isn't true.
Yeah, it's all
like in the legend. It's just not true.
But that's Ireland in a way. It's a little bit like,
absolutely,
you arrive in Dublin, you want the Dublin experience. You go to Temple Bar.
Yeah.
It is actually great, but at the same time, it's plastic in a way.
Yeah.
It's like, it's fake almost. Like, that's not
it's
where
a bit
the locals
like Disneyland
go.
Now.
Exactly. Like, it's fun.
Yeah.
But it's not authentic. And that's kind of what this is.
Now, look, what I did was I watched a documentary about St. Patrick. I feel like my entire bit on this show will just be to have one of the people who works on the show find for me, because I'm really lazy, an obscure documentary with some sort of B-rate celeb at the helm.
Who was it this time?
Liam Neeson.
Well, let me stop you there. Liam Neeson's not B-rate. He's A-list.
Okay, fine. Okay,
and look,
fine.
We all make mistakes. Yes, he said some things.
He did, didn't
but
he? I
don't
forgot.
Let that overshadow the fact that he's one of the greatest actors of all time.
God, he did say some things.
Yeah.
Liam, don't be saying things like that. That's all I have to say. Well, you've completely kind of got me on to my first point here, which is that this documentary begins, and I swear to God, these are the actual words, I'm not paraphrasing, it begins with Liam Neeson, over shots of like the Emerald Isle and the
oh,
music,
yeah.
Right? Okay, it's all very mystic, it's all very lovely.
You
got, yeah, the Bowron, whatever. You got Liam, he begins by saying,
most of the world knows him as the Irish saint who banished the snakes. But he wasn't Irish. And there were no snakes.
And at this point, I have to pause it to laugh for two straight minutes.
He's giving the game away, like spoiler alert in the first
hell,
sentence.
It's just like, so what was he?
That's like at the
then.
Start of Schindler's List. If he had a win, I get them out. Taken, I get them back. Don't worry
I
about it.
I get her back. Yeah. Don't worry. I found him. I killed him. She's back. The dates are sketchy, as per. But we think he's born around 385 AD, right? So just a couple hundred years after the big man himself.
Yeah.
Now, this is at a time when huge parts of what was then the island of Great Britain, because they hadn't occupied Northern Ireland yet. We'll get to that later. And they're under occupation by the Roman Empire.
Boo.
Boo, Roman Empire. Why, really?
Well, yeah, cheers for your roads.
Didn't they
aqueducts.
Brought roads and
yeah.
words. And
yeah, but they were rude.
But they were rude.
Yeah.
You're so right.
They would have just left all the rubbish around them, cans, all that sort
yeah,
of stuff.
Cigarette butts.
Yeah.
Grand. So technically Paddy was Roman or British. Either way, he's a Brit. Ireland had miraculously not been conquered by Rome. Perhaps the only civilization in existence to not conquer us?
Climate. I think the Romans got here on a particularly bad day and just went, now we're good.
Do you know what? Leave them to it. Maybe they felt sorry for us.
It would have cost them so much in brawlies. You know? And that also, like, how much does that, like, you know, degrade the look of a soldier? Shield in one hand,
yeah.
Sword. He would have to tuck the sword under
tuck
his arm because he'd have a brawly. And it would keep going inside out and he would keep running about going, oh, facing into the wind.
Yeah, he'd be on the cliffs and more, yeah. Just having the worst time. It's difficult to say exactly where he's from. You mentioned Wales.
Yeah.
I thought France. I'm not sure. A lot of reports seem to say it's a town called Benavon.
Okay.
I don't know. I've checked this on various places and it came up a lot. So his father was from there. He was a deacon and his grandfather was a priest, right? So it's a very religious family. But here's the interesting thing. Young Paddy, not really into the whole God thing.
Right.
Not religious.
Yeah.
And, you know, this isn't exactly a spoiler. He's going to convert all of Ireland to Christianity.
He's going to get away. Yeah, it's fair to say he makes up for it in later life.
He really goes the extra fucking mile in so many ways. So, yeah, no, he's not really into the whole God thing, right?
Can I just say that's a little bit like me with carrot cake?
Is it?
So I would always have dismissed the idea of carrot cake.
Because you thought it was made of carrots.
Yeah, I just didn't think it worked. I didn't think it was the work of God.
Sure.
And then about a year and a half ago, I tried a bit of carrot cake by mistake.
Oh.
And I've never looked back. Now I'm really into it. So he's a little bit like that with Christianity.
He is a lot like that with Christianity as well. Maybe he hadn't had a piece with that icing on it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What is it about the icing on carrot cake specifically? It just makes it.
The actual cake bit doesn't taste great, but
not
the icing's
great.
So good. So the icing's doing a lot of the work.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like with Christianity, like the way
the Holy Spirit,
the way everyone's dressed.
Yeah.
I mean, like the way the priest might be dressed, the cathedral.
It's a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, that's the icing.
Icing. Got it.
We know what the cake is.
All that nonsense about God.
Nonsense, right.
There we go. And we're moving off of that topic. So he basically says he didn't listen. He writes a lot, right? So he's got all these. I'll just let you just spit your tea out there for a minute. He writes a lot. So we've got actually, for the first time, quite a lot of documentation from the horse's mouth, as it were.
Yeah.
So he's got his confessions, he calls them. He's saying he's not listening to the priests. He's not practicing. His dad also was in the Senate. So quite a wealthy family, right? He's comfy.
Yeah.
He's comfy. They're happy. At 16, he he's kidnapped by Irish slave traders.
Not ideal.
People have got to stop going to other countries and taking people who don't want to go.
That's probably why Liam Neeson got the gig for narrating the documentary. Because he's an expert on taking, but
went and got the wrong fucking kid.
I mean, it's so like it's just one thing don't think about.
Yeah, how much that was happening. It was rampant.
Yeah.
So he's kidnapped by these dudes. Major fucking bummer.
Like just some dude. Some stoners.
It would seem that way. From here on in, all pirates will just in my head be a bit stoned.
Yeah.
So he thinks it happens because he didn't pray enough. Mm-hmm. Which is shit. Like, I just want to go back and give him a wee hug and just be like, Paddy,
he's an idiot.
You're an idiot. And also, it doesn't make a difference, babe. It doesn't make a difference. So he's very upset with himself for not praying enough, not following, you know, the word of God. And he thinks this is why he got kidnapped. So anyway, these slaver guys, they'd sell slaves all along the coast of Ireland. And you didn't come back. Once you were there, you did not come back from there.
Yeah, it wasn't like a year.
It wasn't a gap year. Yeah. You went, you were gone. Your family never saw you again. So they've just assumed you're dead now, right? That's you gone. And the lads around these parts are vicious. You'd probably say rude. Bit rude.
Yeah.
There's a lot of
fighting. Very bold.
Bit bold, bit naughty. Yeah. A lot of fighting. A lot of heads being cut off, as usual.
Yeah, gross.
Because actually... Here's a weird fact I learned. They believed the soul was in the head, so they would cut the victim's head off to remove the soul as well.
Which is bollocks because everyone knows your soul's in your feet.
Absolutely. You heard it here.
That is a joke, and that's 9 out of 10.
I think you think your jokes are funnier than they are.
Apologies.
So he sold to the chieftain of some remote backhole beyond type place. I think it might have been an Antrim.
Well, let me allow you the opportunity to apologise for saying a backhoe place. Antrim is... Okay, you're fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Thank you. Most people at this stage would just sort of give up. Like, he's gone from living quite a cushy life with his politician dad to a complete shithole. He's a slave.
Yeah.
There's just piss and poop everywhere. I've said shithole, but then swapped out shit for poop, which was a weird choice.
Can I just say, in Antrim's defence, there's a night outlet there now. Genuinely true. I don't think it was there when Patrick was there.
Why not? Maybe he founded it along with all the other shit he did.
Yeah. That's just how bad the stories about him have got.
It's about to get worse. He soldiers on. He gets sent off to the mountains to look after some sheep, which actually think sounds quite lovely in comparison to all like the head chopping and stuff.
I think he was a bit of a dosser, so they were like, you know, this will suit him down to the ground.
Just send him off to the sheep there. So he gets sent off to the mountain. So here he is up the mountain. He's lonely. He's hungry. He's terrified.
I didn't know where that was going to go. And you're like, he gets sent up with the sheep. He's lonely. He's horny. One thing leads to another.
I wasn't going to go there. I wasn't going to do that. You did that. There's no records on what happened with the sheep. I think maybe we could assume. But
that he fucked the sheep.
That he fucked the sheep. Let's not. So he's probably quite pissed off as well with the whole slavery situation. And he's got nowhere else to turn. And he feels like he's been punished, I suppose. And, you know, because he didn't pray and everything. So he starts to pray. Up to 100 times a day, I have written here.
I mean, surely you're not still tending to the sheep.
They tend to themselves, though, don't they?
Yeah.
They keep themselves.
100 times a day?
He says he prayed up to 100 times a day and sometimes during the night.
That's what a 5-year-old would say. I prayed 100 times, I swear.
You do have to question when the account is coming from the person themselves, don't you?
Patrick also said he was fastest in his slippers. He's a fucking Billy Bullshitter.
I'm faster than me slippers, so I am. That tickled me. That tickled me. That's better than the puns.
Hey.
Lay off the puns a bit.
Sometimes they're bad.
More reference. Oh.
Someone laughed there next
door. He started to pray. He's praying during the night as well, right? He's just praying all the time. He'd be praying, okay? He starts to feel the love of God. He starts to get a bit closer to God now. He starts to think, oh, actually, I should have been doing this all along. This is lovely. Now, one of two things happened. Either he is in touch with God and God is talking to him, or he's up a fucking mountain. He's been robbed from his homeland. He'll never see his loved ones again.
Yeah.
And he is traumatized.
He's lost it.
And he's just really, really upset and traumatized. And
he's cooked a goose, like.
Yeah. So he started to sort of just introduce these voices in his head to keep him company. And yeah, we all would. So yeah. Fine. Maybe he's even just getting in touch with himself.
Well, you to be fair, you if you're up on a mountain by yourself, yeah, no one around, just some sheep.
100 times a day. And during the night too.
Whatever. He was like a brush shaft up a pair of pyjamas.
Whatever gets you through. Anyway, so this is where, and I find this interesting, the historians sort of start to veer from the facts, and they start to talk about these conversations that Paddy has with God as though they're real.
Yeah.
Like the way that it's all documented, it's like he got him on the blower and just had a chat.
Yeah. Do you think God has an Irish accent?
I'd say to Paddy, he probably did.
Yeah.
Oh, he would have been British, actually, wouldn't he?
All right. What, Paddy? Put that shit down. Nah, stop doing that. You'll break it 100 times a day. Like, God probably was getting involved to say that's too much. That's,
if anything, you'll go blind, like.
Yeah.
Calm down. So God's telling him all sorts of stuff, such as... You're going to go home, Paddy. You're going to go back to Britain. There's a ship waiting for you.
Yep.
Paddy does a runner.
Yep.
Gets the fuck out of there, right?
Why didn't he do that way before
I'm
this?
I'm not sure, but it's been about 6 years. And maybe he hadn't had the courage until the imaginary voice told him there would be a ship.
Yep.
So he does a runner. He knows runaway slaves will be killed if they're caught, but he does it anyway. Off he goes. And he finds a ship. On the coast that's heading back to Britain, and he begs to come on board, and they say no. He's devastated. He walks away. He doesn't know what else to do. He starts praying, please God, please let me be on the ship. They turn around, they go, do you know what, go on, so
get over here. Ruffled his hair.
Yeah, you wee young scallywag.
Yeah.
There's just so much of this kind of stuff in his story about, like, a thing wasn't working and then he asked God. And then it was.
Like, why doesn't he just pray for the, like, in the first place for the thing to, like, go through?
I don't know.
I mean, like, he prays for a ship.
What was he praying for? Maybe he was praying for escape.
Prays for a ship. Oh, there's a ship. They turn him away. Yeah. He prays together.
Yeah.
At the time when they say no, just straight away put your hands together and go, oh, let me on.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, give me all this, like, class food and stuff.
Class food.
And, like, better, like, new slippers.
New slippers.
He'd have it.
Yeah. So that's it. So the ship takes him home to Britain and he sees his family again and they're all delighted to have him back. And he lives out the rest of his days in comfort there. Very happy.
That can't be true.
No, obviously not. There's more to come after these messages.
Great.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year. just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
So he is back in Britain, and he's happy.
Back once again for the Renegade Master.
Exactly. But he can't stop thinking about the Irish. He can't stop thinking about his time there. And one night, an Irishman comes to visit him in a dream. Come back to us, holy boy, he says, because they call him holy boy now. I'm not sure when that started happening.
The worst Avenger of the lot.
Absolutely shit Avenger. And he's torn, right? Because he's having these dreams, and they want him back, and he keeps thinking about the Irish and his time there, and probably there's a bit of Stockholm syndrome happening here. Yeah. Who knows? He doesn't know what to do. So he wants to go back, but he's absolutely mortified because he missed so much school on account of the slavery.
Yeah.
So
good excuse.
Yeah, fair. So what he does here is this is the Rocky montage bit. He starts training. He starts studying.
Lifting weights.
Yeah, lifting weights. You got the piles of books. You got the late night study sessions. You got the stacks of super noodles, right?
He's Pro Plus.
Absolutely. He's really going for it. And he does it. And he becomes a deacon. And then he becomes a priest. And then a bishop. Right? He works his way up through the ranks. So this takes obviously a very long time. So finally, when he's in his 40s, he comes back to Ireland. So this is when shit really starts to go down, right? He's in his 40s, he comes back to Ireland. Nobody's keen on this. The bishops all think he's mad. We're just some little pagan island. It's not the done thing. You don't leave the Roman Empire and go and teach people to be Christian. They barely practice their own Christianity, right? So yeah. they can't believe that he wants to go preach the Gospels elsewhere to a bunch of savages, as they see it. And his plan is to convert the entire country through evangelization, which is pretty...
It sounds like a lot of work.
It sounds tough.
Hassle. Like he's been, like, you got taken as a slave, you got home. Just relax. He's one of those guys you just can't sit around and
do
nothing.
No, he can't. He's watching the clock. His wife's like, can you just chill out and watch Love Island with me? And he's like,
it's like a retired teacher getting a job at Tesco's. He doesn't need the money doing it, but he just needs
to be out and meeting people.
Yep,
100%. Which, you know, fair. So that's what Paddy does. So he comes back to Ireland and he has a secret weapon now to Tsar Patrick, right? Because it's a big, bold plan.
Oh, yeah.
But he has something that all the other Brits don't have, which is he's learned the language. So he has the Cúpla Focal. And for anyone who doesn't speak Irish, that means a few words of Gaelic.
Right.
And by someone who doesn't speak Irish, I think I've just realised that that's you, Shane.
And Focal all about it.
Brilliant. So he brings people gifts. And he kind of knows how to get in it. Like what? Like
big Toblerone.
Cheese. Yeah. Toblerone. And he turns up and, you know, he starts just kind of chatting to the best. So he doesn't go in straight now with
pressure.
The preacher.
No pressure.
No pressure. Just going to tell you a little bit about this god. So at the time, we're pagan at the time. I say we. The Irish are pagan, which means they've got multiple gods, right? They've got all these different deities who sort of represent different things, like you would have had in Greek or Roman times. Pre-Christianity, obviously. So one of the most sacred deities and one of the most sacred things to the Irish people was water. So Patrick uses that. He sort of knows that this is a very precious thing to people and he starts baptizing people in the rivers and he starts sort of using that.
Had that, like, as in he made that up or that had been done before?
I'm pretty sure John the Baptist made that up.
Fair.
So, but this is a part of Christianity. So what he does is quite cleverly, he starts to kind of mix elements of Christianity with elements of the paganism and our love of the land and our own pagan holidays like Samhain and that kind of stuff. He turns that into Halloween, but it's still kind of the same thing. He's just rebranding.
He's like same thing, but you get sweets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And who would say no to
that? Yeah.
He's a clever.
He is good, yeah.
I would have him on my PR team. So he introduces people to the idea of one God. He tells them some stories of Jesus. This lovely man who sacrificed himself. Right, you'd hear this. You think, what a nice lad.
Yeah.
What a good egg. People are into it. He also brings the gift of literacy. So he starts teaching people to read and to write. They didn't have this before. And basically, my conclusion to all this is that he must have been an absolute fucking ledge.
Yeah.
Like, there's even one historian who said, and I loved this, he said, I think he was good humoured. You had to be good humoured. Otherwise, you wouldn't get by in Ireland. If you got to Ireland all pompous and solemn faced, they'd quickly tell you to go and sit in the corner and refuse that man a pint.
That's definitely a metaphor. That means if you shit crack, you would have got murdered.
Yes.
Brutally murdered.
Brutally murdered, yeah. But no, Paddy, he was accepted. He was loved. He loved him.
He seems like a cool substitute teacher. Or a cool stepdad.
Yeah, doesn't he?
Stepdad, he's like, you know, he's like, your dad's not in the scene anymore. He's like, hey, at some point you want to call me dad, do.
That's
but if
fine.
You don't, just call me Paddy.
And if you want to have a beer, have one in the house where it's safe.
Yeah, have one though.
Have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. I like him.
Yeah.
I like Paddy.
Yeah.
So here we go. It's only a matter of time before the fucking Brits get involved, right? We're not gonna go into all the jigs and reels of this. But basically, they get jealous. They don't like what's happening with Paddy and the pagans. And they think, what's he doing over there? He's having massive success. And we're over here, nothing in the charts at all.
Yeah, Paddy and the pagans sound like people that would be in the charts. This brand new one from Paddy and the pagans.
Oh, Paddy and the pagans. So they start making up rumours about him. They start...
like what?
Well,
shit in bed.
There's one that we're not sure of, which isn't actually a rumor. But so they set up this tribunal. They accuse him of all sorts of stuff because they're basically just trying to like ruin his name.
Yeah.
And a mate of his, who's now a priest, a mate of his from when they were very young, speaks at this tribunal and tells them this huge secret that Paddy told him back in the day about something he did when he was a kid. Now, nobody knows what it was. But Paddy did something when he was very young and he told his mate about it and a little fucking rat went and told the tribunal what happened. And then all hell broke loose. Everyone hated him after that.
Are you saying Paddy was the first guy that got by cancel culture?
I think he did.
They got him like his mate, like went to the tabloids.
Based on a tweet from 20 fucking years ago.
There you go.
And probably what he did wasn't even that bad, but we're talking about a bunch of like Christians all sitting around in their robes and like...
He probably like killed a pigeon.
He probably just killed a pigeon.
Not by accident. But
oh, yeah.
Saw a guy do that when I was younger and he's like, isn't this funny? And everyone's reaction was, no, it's not. And we told his parents.
So Paddy's very upset, right?
Of course he is.
His mate's after ratting him out. Everyone's been a real dick at this point. And I'm annoyed on his behalf. He's out there. He's doing good work. Now, I'm not religious. I'm not saying whether the people of Ireland wanted to be converted to Christianity. All I'm saying is he set a goal and he went out and he did it.
You can't do right for doing wrong.
Exactly. So then God pipes up. And he says, we are very angry that our chosen one has been criticised. We, not you or me, we are angry. Which Paddy takes to mean God's angry on my behalf. So what I did probably actually wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
He keeps going. What he does is he writes the British a strongly worded letter, which puts them right in their place.
Signed, you know who I am, bitch.
Yes. And then just St. Paddy in brackets, just in case they weren't sure.
His address.
So they back down anyway. I don't know what he said in the letter, but they back down. They left him be. And that's it. Soon afterwards, the Roman Empire begins to fall. The Dark Ages are about to fall as well. There's this coming soon. So, you know, he probably did well getting out of the Roman Empire when he did.
Yeah.
When Patrick died, Ireland continued his teachings. They got really into it, actually. During the Dark Ages, literacy only survived in monasteries, which you love. We love a monastery.
Everyone gets attacked in a monastery.
Do bless them. But here's an interesting thing. Fugitive scholars from all over Europe were smuggling scrolls into Ireland because it was the only safe place anymore to have the written word.
Yeah.
It was just being ransacked. So they were bringing things, and then all these ancient texts were kept safe in Ireland. And then you get stuff like the Book of Kells, which is illustrated by the lovely monks who do the monk impression.
Oh, hello. They sound a lot like God.
They say, There you go. Yeah, so they were doing that, and they were making the book of Kells, and that depicts the four gospels. So they were continuing Christianity. They were continuing the written word, the literacy that he had brought here, and it brought about loads of change in Ireland. And we ended up sort of pioneering the written word in many ways. We were the first people to separate words out on a page. Before that, it was all just like one long word, like a really shit password.
That's ironic, because that is the way certainly I speak in my part of the world. We speak with no gaps between words.
We don't breathe.
I said, "How's the form ready?" to Beth, who works on the team, and she didn't know whether I was having some sort of attack or what it was.
Making a pass at her.
How's the form? Yeah, no
form?
Gap in between those three words.
Say, "How's the form here?"
How's the form? No, but I said that's one word.
One of my favourites in Ireland is when you just begin with "well." It's very Waterford. Well.
Yeah.
And people here are so fucking horrified by that. They don't know what to do. Well, we start to separate out words. We start to use paragraphs and breaks in words like that. Like this just wasn't done before. And I really feel like if it hadn't been for Patrick bringing literacy to Ireland, this just wouldn't have been happening. Also, upper and lowercase letters. They didn't have them until these monks started doing it.
This is genuinely a part of St. Patrick I've never heard of.
I know, I've never heard this before. I hope that this is all true, because it's really interesting. So the Book of Kells intertwines Celtic and Christian imagery. It kind of brings together exactly what Patrick was doing, which was not just converting people, but finding a way of intertwining it with their existing lives. And I think it's kind of beautiful that they continue to do that. So after his death, the church try and depict him as this like standard bishop with the mitre and the outfit and all that kind of stuff. And they try and kind of claim him, as we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
But also because he's made a saint, they start circulating all these tales of his miracles.
Okay.
Which he didn't have because he wasn't magic.
Yeah.
Nor were any of the other saints. Hate to break it to you. So there's him lighting an Easter fire on the Hill of Slane.
That's not really a miracle. That feels like something I could do.
Well, like he didn't have any matches or anything. Like he just made a fire.
Oh, right. No, that is pretty close.
Yeah, so that didn't happen. He also apparently made himself disappear. Like smoke bomb. Probably didn't happen. Someone said, so the big one is that he chased all the snakes out of Ireland. There hadn't actually been any snakes in Ireland since like the Ice Age. So.
But if I was him, I'd say, technically.
Do you see any snakes?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That is what he is. Like, that's what you think.
I know.
You think St.
There's all these pictures of him and the snake slithering away. There just weren't any.
Like, I even thought up until you just said that, like, maybe there was still one or two, literally one or two knocking about.
No.
And he sort of, like, twirled them around his head and chucked them off the cliffs of Moher, something like that. But if there was no link, then that's bullshit.
Absolutely no link. They also added the shamrock. So, you know, you'd have heard the story of how he used the shamrock, the three leaves, to signify the Holy Trinity. And he taught people this is God and this is Jesus and this is the Holy Ghost. And he used the shamrock. He apparently did not do that. So they introduced the shamrock later because they thought it would be easier for people to understand that way. But he didn't.
Next, you're going to tell me every March he didn't organise a massive piss up.
Well, this was really my final point, Shane, which is that like how we celebrate St. Patrick today is just every year on March 17th, we and the Irish diaspora from around the world, we all just get absolutely shit-faced. And that just isn't the guy we're talking about here. I'm just not sure that Patrick would have been that into that.
Yeah, I feel like if he came back to Earth on Paddy's Day in like Chicago and... look down at like a bright green river because they dye the river green for
Also a fun story. One time, I think it might have been in Chicago, there was a city who wanted to dye the river green, but they weren't sure how much dye to use. So they used like a tad too much and it was green for like a couple of weeks.
Fucked it.
Yeah.
But that's like him coming down to Earth now, looking at that Chicago river.
Yeah.
Going, what the fuck? And then somebody turned around and go, that's for you. Mate,
for you,
he would. What?
He
He'd
also
be like, what's the link
apparently
between me
didn't
and this?
Really wear green. He wore blue.
He liked to mix it up. It wasn't his color. But yeah, like, and it's a day that's celebrated. Like, I feel like it's celebrated least by Irish people.
Yeah.
Like Americans go more mad for it.
I was
love
in New York
it.
Once for St. Patrick's Day. It was insane.
You feel like a bit embarrassed. You're like, oh, this for me.
Chill out.
Yeah.
Relax.
So he was. There is no link to that day and that real guy.
No.
He wasn't called. So let me tell you, you're telling me this.
Yeah.
He wasn't even called Patrick.
Wasn't called Patrick.
He's called Maywin Suket.
Wasn't Irish.
Wasn't Irish. He was Welsh, or you think French. He didn't get rid of any snakes.
No, he didn't use the shamrock. He didn't wear green.
The only thing he gave us
yeah.
was some grammar stuff.
Yeah.
Which makes him
fair,
a giant.
The grammar stuff probably stood to us more in the grand scheme than any of that other shite would have.
Well, no, I still like being able to walk around home and not get bitten by snakes.
Yeah, he didn't do that though.
So he did some stuff that was cool, but not the stuff we think he did.
Yes, so excellent summary of St. Patrick. He did some stuff that was cool, but not the stuff we think he did. So there you have it. That's the story of St. Patrick. And if you have anything to add or indeed remove, as Shane would say, you can always use the hashtag.
WNFH.
That's the one.
I can't get it. You think you know someone. You think you know someone.
You think you know someone. Are you okay? We're going to have a little cuppa after this, have a little chat.
Everything I know has changed. If you want to continue the conversation, you can do that. Hazel on social media, your handles are...
I am at the Hazel Hayes.
Sometimes I'm Shane Todd on things. Sometimes I'm Shane Todd Comedy. It's hide and seek. You can go find me. If you want to rate and review this podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast, you can do that. We'd appreciate it. You can subscribe to it. You can tell a friend, an enemy, your French pen pal, an elderly relative,
megaphone,
whatever
leaflets,
it is. Yeah, door to door. And until next time, just remember that
we're not fucking historians.
Absolutely not.
We're Not Fucking Historians is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.